glad that you could make it out today. It is such an honor to be able to share my story with you. Now, granted, it might be a little bit different from your typical Easter story, but I hope that you all allow the Lord to use it to be a blessing to you. Have you ever been given a name that you just couldn't get rid of? Maybe something like Four Eyes, Blonde, Bigfoot. Many times, these would just be considered playful nicknames, and they would be forgotten as we grow up. But there are other times when names like this can stick around with you for years, and they become labels. These labels feel like big targets on your back and cause others to look at them like scars from your past. If we're not careful, we can allow these scars to root into our lives, causing us to feel miserable and undeserving of any good thing that God has intended for us. Imagine being called these names: demoniac, cursed one, the unloved sinner. These names still ring in my ears sometimes, I'll admit. Can you imagine having these names said to you every passing day by your friends, family, and religious leaders? It's humiliating. Almost to the point that you feel worthless, unwanted, and guilty of your past. Lamb of God, Messiah, Prince of Peace, Redeemer. Such beautiful names when you say. These are the names of Jesus, the most wonderful, glorious, memorable names of the Son of Man come down to earth. It has such a sweet sound. It's hard to even fathom the immense power that these names hold. I remember hearing these names as a little girl, not knowing who this Messiah was. Even then, I knew that there was something special about this person, something more powerful than any demon could ever possess. Why would a person like me be interested in learning from a person like Jesus? More importantly, why would Jesus be interested in saving someone like me, especially someone who is possessed by demons?
As powerful, memorable as the
I grew up in a town called Magdala, which was a thriving fishing town off the coast of Galilee. My father was a wealthy fisherman, and many of the families that lived there were. He would come home every night with loads of fish for my mother to make for us every day. She had this secret recipe that she would use to make her special dinners with. They were to die for. I can still remember the smell of the fresh spices that she would use in her fish mixes. It filled the house with an aroma that was so mouthwatering that we couldn't wait for dinner time every night. Honestly, though, that is one of the only memories of my childhood that I still cherish. Frankly, I couldn't tell you what my childhood was like. Now, I know what you're thinking. How can you not remember any of your childhood? Didn't you make memories with your family? I'm sure there were so many good memories that were made with my parents over the years. But there is a greater reason why my memory is so jaded. You see, at some point in my life, an evil overcame me. I wasn't sure what this evil was, but I was possessed by it. At first, when I felt this evil, it didn't seem to really bother me too much. But the more that I let it in, the more the devil continued to inundate me with six more demons. Can you imagine being filled with demons that take over your entire body and cause such a trauma to your emotions and your mind that you can do nothing but be subject to them? What a powerful spirit that is, to be overcome by such evil. You had to be subject to its every command. I ended up beaten, battered, and scarred. All around town, people could see me, so disheveled, wrecked, and scarred. I lost everyone that was important to me, and no one wanted anything to do with me. My friends abandoned me. My neighbors spread rumors about me. And my parents... To be completely honest with you, I can't remember the last time I spoke with them. What I do remember is that they took me to the priests of our town to try and get these demons out of me. All they did was throw me out of the town. I couldn't even recognize myself. I lost everyone. And the worst part? I couldn't even help myself get out of this situation. I was an outcast. I felt so unloved, so unwanted. How could anyone ever care for my soul? I had no hope, and I could feel myself being dragged down into the depths of my sin. I begged for mercy, but no one came close to granting me that mercy. How could anyone love someone who is filled with demons? Would I live like this until I die? One day, I found myself sitting in a pile of dirt just outside the village gate when, in the distance, I could see the figure of a man with a whole mob coming behind him. I couldn't quite make out who he was, but there was something different about this man. Unlike the priests and the Pharisees who would come outside the village once a year to try and heal those who were out there was just something different. He seemed kind and gentle. So many people were around him, though. I couldn't see his face. And as he drew closer, I could hear people faintly saying his name. Jesus. Wasn't he the one that the prophets were talking about? That God-man who had come down from heaven to save the lost sheep of the earth. Suddenly, I could feel the demons in my soul begin to tremble. And one by one, they started to leave. But at the same time, I could feel the stronger ones tightening their grip. And this created a possession so strong, it brought me to my knees and I blacked out. The next moment, I remember someone calling my name.
Mary.
I recall hearing people's voices whispering around me, wondering what had happened. I remember waking up in the middle of the village and looking around, and that same man that I saw in the distance was kneeling right next to me. But he didn't look at me in disgust or with repulsion of who I was. It was the very first time I saw someone look at me with such love and compassion in their eyes that they were willing to stoop down and save me from these demons. No priest or Pharisee or even my own family was willing to even look at me because of my past and what I had done. Jesus, you must come quickly. Someone in the crowd was hastening him along, and as he rose up, he took hold of my hands and gave me the warmest smile that I will never forget. He walked away and the crowd continued to follow on, but I felt a new life beginning inside of me. It was the strangest feeling. It felt like I was finally in my right state of mind. I didn't feel the pull of evil forces and the demons that once engulfed my thoughts. They were all gone. I can't even explain it. It's as if those demons never existed. How could I not follow this man and learn more about him? I quickly got to my feet and caught up with the crowd so I could learn more about this Jesus, the one who heals. Throughout the next few months, I got to learn at Jesus' feet. I watched as he performed miracles and taught the large crowds. It was so eye-opening to learn from the parables and stories that he would use to help people learn and understand the scriptures. It was so fascinating to observe and grasp everything that he said. I wanted to be able to learn even more, but there was always something in the back of my mind that was telling me, Mary, what will people think of you? Don't you remember your past and what you came from? How do you think people will think of you if you go up and talk to Jesus alone? Just because he healed you doesn't mean that others will think the same way. All this doubt, and I guess you could say emotional and psychological baggage, continued to weigh me down and be a roadblock in my young Christian life. Because of this, I retreated back into myself, not really seeking more guidance like I wanted to. I continued to be a silent observer, but I was always leery of people noticing the demoniac label on my back. I remember wishing if there was a way to get rid of that label. Healer, redeemer, and deliverer. These were such beautiful names I got to hear about my Messiah. It was so wonderful to hear these names being said over and over again with such reverence and authority. It wasn't until 3 years later that I heard the Romans and Jews alike call my Jesus the worst names that I have ever heard while he was bleeding on an old rugged cross on the hill at Golgotha.
Thank you.
Jesus, King of the Jews. The sign above the cross was marked with these words. But it wasn't something that was given in reverence. Rather, it was in mockery of his name. I wasn't there the night the temple guard arrested him after Judas Iscariot betrayed him and turned him over to the Roman soldiers, but I just remember the overwhelming sadness that I felt when I heard the news. I remember running to Jesus' mother's home and spending time with her along with Joanna and Salome. We just prayed together fervently for Jesus. After a few hours, one of the disciples came by the house and told us that the Romans were going to crucify Jesus. We could not believe our ears. The Lamb of God is going to be sacrificed on a cruel cross. We were told during Jesus' teachings that this would happen, but I still did not believe that it could be true. How could evil still be present when you had the God of all gods on this earth be triumphant over death? Was what Jesus taught true? It started creating doubts in my mind, especially with how Jesus healed me. I mean, could the demons come back and invade my mind? Just like this evil spirit could take over the Son of God. I had to find out, so I went with Mary and the other disciples to the site of the crucifixion. I had to know for myself. Is Jesus really going to sacrifice himself for the sake of this evil world?
Linger for a moment more, Lord, come to can still hear the hammering of those nails ringing in my ears. The screams of mockery and sheer evil rang throughout the land. One of the Roman soldiers jabbed his sides with spears to make him bleed more than he already was. They even dug a crown of thorns right down into his head. I couldn't believe the betrayal of some of these followers of Jesus that literally saw miracles that he performed. How could they do this to him? Seeing the agony on his face was too much to bear. This rabbi from Galilee, who promised the poor in spirit that they would inherit the kingdom of God, was now hanging from a rough, rugged Roman cross in between two thieves. He didn't deserve this kind of treatment. His hunger and thirst for righteousness left him empty and broken. He became a curse. I did my best to fight through the tears and comfort his mother, but I couldn't turn away either. I had to be there for Jesus. He was there for me in my darkest hour of life. I had to do the same for him, no matter how much or little my presence meant. But the question continued to cloud my mind. Will Jesus have a label now too? I mean, the names I was given in my past were nothing compared to what they were giving Jesus now. It made me realize how evil this world really is. To be able to put Jesus to shame and try and overcome good with evil. The utter pride and arrogance of these Romans was just unbearable. But they were the ultimate authority during this trial. Will evil really win? couldn't believe it. Jesus died. His last words were, "It is finished." He just gave up his life. I thought that he was the Messiah, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. How did evil overcome the Son of God? The ultimate destroyer of the world killed my Lord. I remember the skies were so dark. It's as if the Spirit of the Lord left the earth. There was a huge earthquake right after Jesus took his last breath. All the women huddled together for protection while John held on to us. And after the earthquake, all was silent. No one dared say a word. We were all in sudden shock to see the bread of life and living water just hang there, lifeless. With tears in my eyes, I watched Nicodemus and a man from Arimathea named Joseph unfasten Jesus' body from the cross and lower him gently to the ground. They wrapped him in myrrh and aloe, enough to give him a king's burial. We then solemnly walked to Joseph's tomb site, where Jesus was then laid to rest. A stone was rolled across the tomb, and it was sealed shut. After spending a few minutes at the gravesite, the disciples slowly disbanded, and the women said their final goodbyes, and they too walked back to their homes. I was one of the very last women to leave, still in awe of what just happened before my very eyes. I couldn't believe that the Savior of the world was dead. The next day, Mary, Joanna, and Salome invited me to go with them to the tomb site to offer spices to Jesus. At first, I'll admit, I didn't want to go. I was so guilty for telling people about this living Messiah. I couldn't even look at them in the face. I knew people would look at me with such disgust and disdain. Why would a woman that was possessed by 7 demons be following the Messiah? Was she the one who put him up there on that cross? I felt so ashamed to even be in front of them, let alone go to the market and get spices from the merchants to dress his body. However, something was telling me that I should go. After much conviction, I decided to accept their invitation. They gave me some of their spices, and we walked toward the place where Jesus had laid. It was 3 days before I went to the tomb. I had to muster up so much courage to even try and go on that Sunday. I thought to myself, how in the world would I even feel to see my dead Messiah laying there? How would I roll the stone away to get in there and offer spices and dress the wounded Lamb of God? So many thoughts ran through my mind as we journeyed to the grave. The biggest question I had was all that Jesus taught true? He mentioned something about rising from the dead so that he could fulfill the plan of salvation. You see, one of the things that Jesus taught was that God, in his mercy, sent Jesus, the Messiah, to come down to this earth so that he could experience all that humans experienced. He was going to show all of these miracles and share different parables throughout his life so that others could believe on him, not just based on sight, but based on faith in him. Jesus also mentioned that he was going to bear the sins of all the world on his shoulders to prove how much he loved the world so that others could believe on him. But why would he, the perfect Son of God, want to carry the weight of all the sins of the people, including mine? Doesn't he know the kind of person I was when he healed me? As we walked closer to the tomb, I noticed something. There was something out of place. To our surprise, we saw the tombstone was rolled away from the mouth of the grave. Was someone already here and did not replace the stone? I ran ahead of the other women so that I could get a closer look. I crouched down into the tomb and saw the strips of linen lying on the floor, while the burial cloth that was around Jesus' head was folded neatly by itself. How could this be? The other women caught up with me, and they couldn't believe their eyes either. I started panicking. Who stole Jesus' body? I ran out of the tomb, and I felt myself gasping for air. I wept like I had never wept before. So much sadness, anxiety, and fret overcame me. I couldn't believe that Jesus was taken away. Suddenly, we heard a noise inside the tomb that sounded like small animals scurrying inside. We saw a young man in a long white garment sitting right inside the tomb.
Why seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
I vaguely recall Jesus saying something about how he was going to be left in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise again. But it still seemed too good to be true. I left the other women at the tomb and I ran to find Peter and John. I had to tell them the news. I found them in one of their homes with the other disciples, and they were reminiscing about what had taken place over the past couple days. I told them about all the things that we saw, and that the angels told us that Jesus was risen from the dead. They didn't believe me at first, thinking it was just an idle tale, but finally I was able to convince Peter and John to come and at least see the empty tomb. We saw the women there conversing amongst themselves, still astounded as to what took place. After speaking with them, Peter and John both looked inside the tomb. Peter went into the tomb and saw the linens lying there with the burial cloth folded by itself, just like I had said. But with disbelief, they turned and just walked back to their homes. They just looked at me in disbelief. How could some of Jesus' closest disciples not believe me? I wasn't making it up. I saw someone who looked like an angel tell me that Jesus is alive. But if they didn't believe me, then was what I saw a dream? I started doubting myself again. I turned and walked back into the sepulcher, and when I looked up, I saw not just one, but two angels sitting there, one at the head and one at the foot where Jesus had laid. I felt like my mind was playing tricks on me. I had to be going crazy again, but I rubbed my eyes. When they came back into focus, they were still there.
Woman, why weepest thou?
Through my tears, I uttered the words, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. I couldn't answer any more questions. My heart was so broken. I ran out of the tomb, and I had fallen on the ground, weeping. As I looked around, I saw another figure in the distance, also in white apparel. I suspected he was a gardener, but I was too weak to even call out to him. I couldn't get the words out. The next moment, I heard a voice ask me,
"Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?"
"Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." I continued to weep, and as the tears created a pool of water in my hands, I heard a calm, familiar voice say one word,
"Mary."
Now, I have heard many people call me by my name before, but it was always attached to the demon-possessed or the outcast. But this time, my name had a different ring to it, like the person who said it knew me. And despite my past, who knew me despite my sin, it sounded so familiar, someone who loved me. I removed my hands from my wet face. I looked up. It was Rabboni, my master. I couldn't believe it. My Jesus is alive. I wasn't allowed to touch him yet since he told me he hadn't gone to see his father yet, but just the look on his face told me everything that I needed to know. My Jesus is alive. Jesus looked beyond my label and saw me for who I was, not for who man labeled me for. He saw my soul and loved me for who I am now. I knew right there and then that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God who came to deliver man from their sin. Jesus came so that you and I can have a relationship with him. Though I was a person afflicted by demons and one that would not be able to be pardoned by the court, God allowed me to be the very first person to see him at the resurrection. What a mighty God I serve. All of us have a past that we are not proud of. We look at this sometimes and think, how can anyone be so forgiving of the sins that we have committed? That's the thing, though. Jesus came to save the unlovely, the unwanted, the guilty, all in all, the sinner. Friends, you and I are a lot alike. Though you may not have been possessed by demons, we all have a sin nature. We all deserve hell. But because Jesus died a cruel death, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose again on the third day, he fulfilled his promise to you and me that we could live with him someday. He offers hope to the anxious, rest for the weary, and freedom for the guilty. Friend, will you trust Jesus as your Savior today? God reveals himself to the lowly, and it would only be the humble whose hearing was sharp enough to perceive the message of his love. He is waiting with open arms to accept you into his family. Will you allow him to reach down to you and save your soul? If you do, you can join me along with so many others who have claimed the beautiful name of Jesus.